The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. As you can see, we are all here. Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, already talking a little smack after the Browns. What? Don't worry.
He's going to get it today.
Marcus is going to be giving Baker Mayfield his flowers. They finally got that playoff win. But we begin with breaking news. And for that, we go to Adam Schefter. What's the latest, Adam, out of Philadelphia?
Laura, the Philadelphia Eagles have fired their Super Bowl winning head coach, Doug Peterson. He met with Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, today, and Jeffrey Lurie made the decision to move on from Doug Peterson, to go a separate direction. And I think there are a combination of factors that contributed to Lurie's decision. We start with the fact of the season with the team winning four games in a division that was ripe to be won, and the Eagles had the worst record in the division. Then you mix in the Sunday night debacle against the Washington football team, in which the Eagles laid down on national television and essentially gift-wrapped the NFC East title to Washington. And then in the postseason meetings, in which Jeffrey Lurie wanted to hear Doug Peterson's vision for the franchise moving forward, the assistants he planned to hire to replace Jim Schwartz on the defensive side of the football, the assistants they let go on the offensive side of the football. Don't think Jeffrey Lurie loved what he heard. I think that Doug Peterson was happy to promote from within, and I think Jeffrey Lurie was looking for a broader, bigger, more ambitious vision from Doug Peterson. And so 3 seasons after Doug Peterson becomes the first coach in Eagles history to lead them to a Super Bowl title, 3 years later, he's sent packing, fired, now a coaching free agent.
So much more on this throughout the day. Adam Schefter with us all show long, so a lot more to get to there. Dan, this is the thing that keeps coming to mind as you think about the Eagles and their future. Let's start here. What does this mean for Carson Wentz?
Pressure's on. Big time pressure's on. Mm-hmm. Initially, I think, okay, there was the power struggle. We've been saying for weeks, are the Eagles going to choose Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz? There's a little bit of me that feels like Carson Wentz won out here. Or whatever
a little
it is.
Bit?
Right. And so now the pressure goes to Carson Wentz because they're obviously making the decision with a little bit him in mind, and the next decision is going to be with him in mind as well. What head coach loves Carson Wentz? What head coach believes that Carson Wentz could be a superstar in the NFL? What head coach has got the ambitious vision that Shefty just said to fix Carson Wentz, get him back on track? Because once that hire is made, it's going to be all eyes on number 11 going, okay, now the coaching decision is there. You got to go play big-time football. And so there is a ton of pressure on Carson Wentz again.
And when you think about that, Mina, it's because of the money that's owed to Carson yes. Wentz, right? They're trying to bring somebody in who could potentially make that work long-term. Do you think, though, that Doug Peterson loses his job if he doesn't bench Jalen Hurts in that game that everyone continues to talk about?
That's the million-dollar question, or the $100 million question. I can't remember how much Carson Wentz's contract is worth, because it certainly felt like not a solely Peterson-made decision. I'm trying to put this gently. And that's important, right? Because as we spin this forward, we're not only asking what sort of coach can do all the things that Dan listed, we're also asking what sort of coach wants this job, because it's not a great one. You got a capped out roster with a ton of aging veterans. You have a big question mark at the quarterback position, and you have exactly what Dan described, which is a power struggle that occurred, and not just involving the quarterback and the coach, but also the front office. I know you hate Game of Thrones references because you don't watch the show.
He doesn't get them.
But Doug Peterson just got Ned Stark.
He did.
Okay, and whatever coach is looking at this job knows what just happened, and you are walking into a very tricky situation, Marcus.
Two things come to mind. One, the coaching search landscape should change, because Doug Peterson is a good coach.
No doubt.
All right? True. The second thing is, when you look at everything that transpired in Philly this year, I said the only way Doug Peterson would be fired if he lost the locker room. Right. So I didn't have I don't have the insider info about what's going on with him and Howie Roseman and Lurie. I don't know that relationship dynamic. We knew there was some bad blood between him and Carson Wentz, obviously. And if the decision was made predicated on that, you could view that as losing the locker room as well. Yep. But I play for the Cowboys, y'all. In 8 years, I played for three different coaches. It's been 25 years since they've been to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, the good coaches are not just walking around. I know we get enamored at the end of the season with all of these guys and excited about what they could potentially do. I'm not firing a coach that just won a Super Bowl and took us to the playoffs with a ravaged roster over one bad year. I'm not doing it.
The first ever Super Bowl title brought to Philadelphia by Doug Peterson. His statue is out in front of the stadium. And when you think about this, and I think it's really worth bringing up, we'll go back to Adam Schefter here. Obviously, the coaching search changes. As Marcus mentioned, the landscape changes. But what type of coach are the Eagles looking for here, Adam?
Well, first of all, it changes. There's one more coach in the pool in Doug Peterson. And there are a lot of people who believe that Doug Peterson has strong connections to the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas, and that Doug Peterson will be a candidate for the New York Jets general manager or the New York Jets head coaching job. As for what the Eagles are looking for, look, I think this just happened. I think they're sifting through their options. I don't think that they thought they were going to be in the spot that they are today. And I think Jeffrey Lurie would like to be drawn to some dynamic, offensive-minded coach who can help Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts fulfill their potential, whatever quarterback they decide to go with. But it's a tricky proposition. Again, they are now playing catch up to the other six teams in the league who have head coaching vacancies, who essentially have been through their first round of Zoom interviews. Now, the upside here is that the Eagles don't have to jet around the country. They can't jet around the country and go meet with everybody because that's not how the interview process works this year. So tomorrow, the next day, whenever they start this, they can get a bunch of candidates on Zoom calls and begin to play catch up with the candidates that they desire.
It's going to be so interesting to watch. And really, another great point by all of you that Doug Peterson's name is now in this mix as well for those openings that Adam mentioned. I want to get your reaction to that connection that Adam just talked about to the Jets with Doug Peterson.
Oh, if I'm Doug Peterson and I get to go from the Eagles to the Jets, I'm stoked. That's a much better job. I mean, we're going to watch the National Championship tonight. Catch us all on ESPN2.
Let's go.
You're watching right now. And I guarantee you that Joe Douglas and everyone in the Jets organization is going to be watching Justin Fields because they got a lot of big decisions, but they've also got everything I just said the Eagles don't have, the Jets have. Young core, cap space, draft picks. Yep. There's a lot of flexibility there. And as Marcus pointed out, Doug Peterson is a proven coach.
You wonder if it could be a glow up for Doug Peterson. Never.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
No, Browns win it 48-37. But listen, Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool didn't seem to care. He said bad loss, but the Browns are going to get clapped next week, so it's all good. Of course, Mina, they're facing the Chiefs. You like that by Claypool?
I like any sort of hate between teams, to be perfectly clear. I live for the petty. We'll talk about the Chiefs later, but let's celebrate the Browns today.
You don't get
the what you mean?
Why? He can clap.
All right. We'll get to that. Let's talk about the Browns. Let's give them their flowers. Sometimes with a game that has as chaotic as an opening script as this one did, it can be hard to settle on takeaways because things got out of hand so quickly. But I have a few. One, Baker Mayfield, QB. You can wear your hat any way you want to when you play like that, or generally. Just incredibly poised and clutch. Two, again, takeaways for this game. Practice might be kind of overrated. I'm not showing up to any of our pre-show calls anymore. No, but really, my third takeaway, and this is my biggest one, how about the stones on Alex Van Pelt?
Yes.
Now, Kevin Stefanski put together what you saw in the first quarter, and I thought it was brilliant in terms of getting the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hand quickly. The Quickster has all season to neutralize that Steelers pass rush. He was excellent against the blitz. But what I loved, and this was pure Van Pelt because Stefanski couldn't call in, stupidly, but whatever. Fourth quarter, The Browns are playing with a lead. Now, a lot of coaches will look at your team and say, we have an elite running game. We're missing some offensive linemen, but we're going to keep pounding the rock and try to preserve our lead and bleed clock. Not Alex Van Pelt. Maybe. Top of the fourth quarter, 5 out of 6 plays are passes. Mm. Including, by the way, when he did what everyone does to the Steelers, and he identified, oh, I can get a slot receiver on a linebacker.
Talked about it all year.
Jarvis Landry, I loved the aggression. Keep your foot on the gas pedal. And he deserves a ton of kudos for
I like
that.
Where Mina at.
Bruh.
Yep.
I know. She said.
You did that, not me.
I love it.
Well, you did the hand motion.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question before I get started.
Hey, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because I got all this shade coming from this guy.
Yeah,
here.
I feel it. It's a little cool over here.
We made these picks. Did anybody take the Browns?
Nobody did.
Okay. Anyway, let me get started on my.
Although some said they wanted to. I was actually included in that category.
I just want to know why the shade come in my way and you didn't have the confidence in your people.
Receipts.
I did take the Browns. I told y'all on Monday that I was taking the Browns. I don't make picks on Friday. I'm not on Friday's show. Go ahead.
Let's be nice. No picks, no accountability.
They would have taken the Steelers.
That's me. Anyway, let me talk about this, all right, because we can get enamored with Kareem Hunt and Stefanski. Baker Mayfield, all right? I'm glad I get a chance to talk about him answering. We saw it against the Ravens. We saw Baker Mayfield make key drives, key third down pickups against the Ravens. We saw him do it against the Tennessee Titans, but this was the one. Like this staple right here, after not having practice, after not having your guys, we talked about the loss to the Jets and what happened to them and the play calling and all of that. And during this game, I tweeted, oh my God, Cleveland done took their foot off the gas. Mm. They about to allow the Pittsburgh Steelers to get back
like
in
that,
this football
right?
game. It felt like that. And Baker Mayfield took his team down the field with his arm. All right, we know Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb can do it. But the fact that he was converting third downs, making plays off script as a quarterback, to me, that's how the Cleveland Browns can go further than we thought they could.
Their offensive line put on an absolute clinic last night.
No doubt.
A clinic in their run game. And you guys have heard me say oftentimes, be really good on the front side, be great on the back side. That's how you get a great run game. And it showed up last night. Look at Wyatt Teller and Conklin, right?
Yes, like,
look at these two blocks. First of all, that's a reach block. Look at the vision. Don't block the blitzer by Conklin. Awesome to get to the second level. Wyatt Teller, win on your block. Kareem Hunt, physical. But that's not the only time. How about the 3rd and 3 Kareem Hunt touchdown run? Watch a little motion come over from Njoku. Now Teller and Conklin again. Watch Conklin and Teller climb. Teller, you got vision on the backside backer. That's great. How about J.C. Treader? Body on a body on a body on a body on a body. That's the Browns' run game that was dominant last night. That's the reason they won the football game, is because they wanted to play to their identity and showed up. That being said, you said a long time ago that you weren't going to trust the Browns until they beat somebody good, and they've done it all season. And you said you weren't going to trust Baker Mayfield till he balled. He's balled all year, so you owe the Browns an apology. And you owe me $100 of my daggone Venmo.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
First of all, it just was sent to you because I'm straight on the money.
He did it.
But let me
confirm.
I cannot deny the fact that Baker Mayfield in the last few weeks of the season proved more to me than the beginning.
Okay.
Like,
there we go.
He was being, I thought he was being carried by a great coach.
We got our apology.
There we go. All right. So the Browns advance. More on that later, potentially. Oh, so do the Saints. Drew Brees will now get to celebrate his 42nd birthday Friday, preparing for a playoff game against the Bucs. With the only active quarterback older than him, of course, Tom Brady would be that person. The Saints beat the Bears 21-9 on Sunday. Alvin Kamara rushed for 99 yards and a touchdown. Big win for those Saints, and it ended in a little slime action for Sean Payton. The Nickelodeon broadcast was a whole lot of fun. The divisional round of the playoffs are set. The Rams and Packers kick things off on Saturday in Green Bay. Two of the hottest QBs in the league go head-to-head on Saturday night, with the Bills hosting the Ravens. And then on Sunday, it's those defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs hosting the Cleveland Browns. What a better way to wrap it all up than Brady versus Brees on Sunday night in New Orleans. What a divisional round coming our way. Both of the quarterbacks, Alabama actually accounts for 6 of those 8 players from Todd McShay's list, with Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith topping the list at number 4 overall. And now for the breaking news. for today, Doug Peterson is out in Philly. The man who led the Eagles to their first and only Super Bowl title has a statue outside the stadium. He's been fired, a source told our Dan Graziano. And many expected Peterson to remain despite only four wins in 2020. But meetings with owner Jeffrey Lurie had his boss unconvinced that he was the right man to lead the team going forward. So Sal Palantonio joining us now. And let's start here, Sal. What's the reaction in Philly to the Eagles parting ways with Doug Peterson?
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think it's a mixture of shock and sadness. This is a sad day in the history of Philadelphia sports that you would part ways with the first and only coach to bring a Super Bowl title, to bring a championship parade. You got to understand, the Philadelphia Eagles are not just a sport in this town. They are a way of life. And this town suffered through decades and decades without a championship. And Doug Peterson did the best coaching job in franchise history, Laura. The best. He lost his quarterback, his starting middle linebacker, his starting left tackle, his best special teams player. And then he went on to beat the dynasty in the Super Bowl. Doug Peterson fired. Parting ways with the Philadelphia Eagles, it's a sad day. Now, I just talked to somebody very close to Doug Peterson who said that the coach is going to take some time, talk to his wife, Jeannie, and decide what he wants to do next. But as Adam Schefter just reported, this throws the coaching carousel, the search for seven head coaches now, into a state of flux. And there are a number of names that I want to put out there that I think will be associated with this head coaching job in Philadelphia now that it's available. It's a very attractive job, even if you consider the quarterback situation and the injuries on the offensive line. This is a great, great town to coach in. First and foremost, Brian Daboll. Now listen, the OC of the Buffalo Bills is also a Bob Lamont client. Remember, Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson are both Bob Lamont clients, but I'm hearing that Daboll has serious interest with the New York Jets and with the LA Chargers. Todd Bowles, interviewing with Atlanta and Detroit from Temple, used to coach here. He will definitely be somebody whose name could be associated with this team going forward. Mike Kafka, don't forget, it's the Andy Reid coaching tree. Jeffrey Lurie is still very, very close to Andy Reid. Mike Kafka, the quarterback's coach, and don't forget about Eric Bieniemy. He will definitely get consideration. Deuce Staley on the staff, they're very high on Deuce Staley. But also, would you think outside the box? What about Lincoln Riley, who coached Jalen Hurts to great acclaim at Oklahoma? So there are a lot of different ways that they could go, but make no mistake about it, this is an attractive job no matter what they decide to do with Carson Wentz going forward.
Yeah, the Lincoln Riley note is really interesting. Of course, he was tied to that Cowboys opening. Mike McCarthy ends up being the guy there. Thanks so much, Sal Palantonio. All the latest on the Philadelphia Eagles situation. And one of the names there, Dan, that Sal threw out, Todd Bowles, he's a defensive guy. It feels to me like, even though that's an interesting name for me, if we talk about what the Eagles are going to do here, it's got to be an offensive guy who can make things right for Carson Wentz.
It does not have to be an offensive guy. It has to be someone who, we've heard Adam Schefter say it, like, what is the ambitious vision? Now, if it is a Todd Bowles or Robert Saleh, who are you bringing with you as your offensive coordinator? That's the big question. If it is an offensive guy, great. But the question is, who's your defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
But if you're going to sign the defensive guy, a guy like a Todd Bowles or Robert Saleh, You have to figure out who the offensive coordinator is and does he love Carson Wentz. It's not does he think he Carson Wentz is good. Does he love Carson Wentz? Because this decision was made because they've got the money invested into 11. Okay, so whatever coach comes there has to inherently love the quarterback and think he could be an absolute superstar again. Does not have to be an offensive-minded guy. It has to be somebody that is bringing somebody who's an offensive-minded person with them. And the last thing I'd say is this. You better hire somebody that is specific to the quarterback as a coach positionally. They got to fix the mechanics of Carson Wentz. Fix the mental makeup of Carson Wentz. You've got to get somebody in your building that knows quarterbacks. That's the bottom line.
There's what will they do and what should they do, because what Dan said about bringing in a coach, whether it's offensive or defensive, who has confidence in Carson Wentz, I think that's what they will do. That's clearly the fallout from the firing of Doug Peterson, the money involved. Now, I'm going to say what I think they should do, which is I think they should bring in a coach who's welcome to a competition between Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts outplayed Carson Wentz this season. I saw it with my own two eyes. Now, I'm not saying he outplayed him to the extent where he should absolutely be the day one starter, but if it was me, I would want a legitimate competition, Marcus Spears.
I just don't know what the message is, man. Like, I understand what both of y'all are saying, and obviously Carson Wentz had to come to mind in this decision-making. You got what Mina just said with Jalen Hurts flying the ointment. I think the best path forward is what you said, though, Mina. Like, the conversations we had about Carson Wentz's mental makeup, his attitude towards the end of the season, it needs to be an open competition because you need to see Carson Wentz level up. This is about, I keep screaming it, it's competition, competition, competition. And Doug Peterson aside, Carson Wentz has to decide, I'm going to not only return to form, but I'm going to close the door on anybody else that's trying to take this spot. That's really what, that's Philly's future.
No.
Like at the end of the day.
It's a tough city.
No doubt.
And to all these points, Jalen Hurts has done more than earn
his opportunity.
To at least continue to compete for that job. News around the league to get to on a busy Monday. Adam Schefter, what is going on in Texas?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, it's sticky right now with Deshaun Watson in Houston, Laura. He is not pleased with the way the organization handled the general manager hiring process. There's no objections to the particular individual, Nick Caserio, that got the job, but the organization went to him for input. He provided the input, and the organization didn't act on his input nor the input from the search firm it hired, and it went and hired Caserio on its own with a Cal McNair decision. And now there's some speculation about whether Watson could ask to be traded, whether he could withhold his services and not show up to the Texans. Bottom line, it's messy and sticky and tricky. And Dan Quinn, the former Falcons head coach, flew to Dallas today for his interview for the Cowboys defensive coordinator job, in a job that most people around the league expect him to get. Quinn looks like he's going to be the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. They're still have to work out a contract, but it looks like he will be the one that will replace the fired Mike Nolan.
Adam, Marcus Spears doesn't like it. Unfortunately, today we're so busy we don't have more time to react to it. But anyway, thanks to Shifty for that. Hey, the utter disgust on Ben Roethlisberger's face last night was hard to ignore, and I'm not really sure what else your face should be doing if you were on the Steelers' side of that loss to the Browns. The Steelers suffering what really was bizarre from the get-go, that despite they did make an interesting comeback. Big Ben said this after the game.
I need to apologize to them for tonight and the rest of my teammates for the way I played. I don't have any magical answers. It just, we didn't put it together. Like I said tonight, I mean, it's the glaring issue is we turned the ball over. We turned the ball over a ton, and that just can't happen. You know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go. And there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
And it's kind of shocking to even hear him talk that way. What did you make of Ben's tone there, Dan?
I think his emotion says a lot to me. The reality is you can't have Big Ben back next year at the amount of money that you owe him and have a good football team. Those two things cannot happen next season for Pittsburgh. One of them is going to have to give. And at the end of the day, Big Ben himself coming back doesn't make you great. This was a good football team this year. He will be 1 year older. Their philosophy is going to have to change. They're going to have to change the style of football that they play. Also, they have a lot of other guys on their football team that need to come back for them to be a contending team. And then the reality is this, don't get left behind. I know it's a tough decision, but you got two teams in your division right now that are starting to sprint away from you, Cleveland and Baltimore, both with young quarterbacks. At some point, that organization's going to have to sit there and go, you know what? We love you. We're thankful for what you gave us, but we can't get left behind, and we have to make a move. I think that the Steelers are going to be forced to make that decision, and they're going to have to go, Big Ben, thank you, but it's time for us to move forward.
You can get left behind real quick in this league. Adam, you heard Dan mentioning how much money is owed to Ben. Where do the Steelers stand financially going forward?
Be clear, it's $46.1 million against the cap. It's the single largest cap charge of any player in the league for next season. And as Dan mentioned, they're not going to let that number stand. The question is, what do they do about the number and what do they do about the player? Now, the player, as of a couple of weeks ago, intended to come back and play. But maybe last night spooked him, haunted him, and it makes him reconsider. There are a lot of players that get to the end of the year, and when that final game ends, I think a lot of people are ready to walk away from the game. And they take some time off, they decompress, they evaluate the situation, and they come to a conclusion about what they want to do. I think Ben Roethlisberger, as of a few weeks ago, again, wanted to play. And it's hard to imagine that this team at one point in time was 11-0 and making a run at the 72 Dolphins. And now we're talking about what went wrong, Ben Roethlisberger, whether he'll be back, all the issues that the Steelers have to face and confront. A lot of issues in Pittsburgh this offseason.
So the question that the Steelers face here isn't simply do we cut Ben and move on, it's are we willing to take that cap hit? Because if they do cut him, it's going to cost them not $41 million, but a little over $20 million. Now, they save some money that they can spend on some of the free agents you alluded to, Dan. There's a bunch, by the way, who are up. Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, we can list them here, Bud Dupree. I mean, those are some big names. And if they cut him, they could pay some of these guys. But it's a tough debate because, in my mind, Pittsburgh, no matter what they do, even if they keep Ben, they got to draft a quarterback. It's a mistake, frankly, I think they made this season, not planning for the future, but they're going to have to regardless. So then it becomes, okay, do we draft a quarterback and wipe the slate clean, start over, take the hit, and move on? Or do we give Ben one more year, restructure the contract, and maybe have him mentor the young quarterback? I lean towards the former and the fresh start, but I can see both sides.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, I'm about to say something crazy. It's unfortunate that they won 11 games this year because they're not in position. They're not in position to do it. Like the draft, even the draft pick is not going to be enticing to a lot of teams in order to get the quarterback. Ben's done, y'all. Like, and not from a physical standpoint, not from the fact that he is not in a position to be insulated by his team. Mm-hmm. Kind of what you alluded to. I saw Peyton Manning, who couldn't throw probably 45 yards, go win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
But it was DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller on the other side.
New Orleans.
I see right
That's
now. I'm getting there. Drew Brees. Everything around him is elite when you start thinking about playmakers. Tom Brady. Right? In Tampa. He's insulated once they got that thing going. Now we're seeing all of that talent transpire. Pittsburgh can't do that. They're not in position to
he
do it.
He threw the ball 70 times.
I know.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yeah, I ask him to carry too much.
Yes,
as much as they would even want to do that, you're right, they can't. They don't have the positioning to do it. Yeah, so, I mean, we're just, like, mega casting all over the place. We're going to mega cast tonight, too, as I just said. At 7, start off with us for Alabama-Ohio State. This crew
I did not realize the shade you gave Justin.
No doubt, dude.
What? She was just shocked, you guys.
I didn't realize how awkward I look every time I turn my chair to the camera, but a lot of things happen.
You just like the turning chair. All right, anyway, that game yesterday with Lamar Jackson beating the Titans was huge. He silenced his critics, picked up his first career playoff win beating the Titans on Sunday. And this was huge. Getting that first win was only part of the narrative-changing performance for Jackson. He earned the first career win. He didn't just earn it, right? He earned it by double digits when he was trailing by double digits. So he posted an 84.6 total QBR after entering the game with the lowest playoff total QBR since we began tracking that metric in 2006. And while he did plenty with his legs on Sunday, he also showed he could get it done with his arm, completing 75% of his passes for 155 yards after the first quarter. And man, oh man, it was fun to watch him run when he did that, guys.
It was awesome. And I think one of the things about Lamar Jackson that does not get enough credit, you know this, is how smart he is. Like the football athletic intelligence that he has.
That's what we talk about. We stopped Lamar for one quarter. We stopped him for two quarters. You look up in the third quarters, he got 150 and two touchdowns.
It's one crazy play. Mina, what did you think changed for the second half for the Ravens as they started to take over the game?
Well, Laura, the biggest surprise of the first half to me was the play of the Titans' defensive line, which we spent the entire week criticizing. I definitely did. And all first half, those defensive ends and outside linebackers, they were setting the edge. I mean, all the things that the Ravens have been doing so well over the last few weeks, zone read, the off-tackle runs, QB counter, it wasn't working in the first half. So what did Greg Roman do on the first drive of the second half? He said, hey, did anybody order some beef? Because we got the biggest fullback in the NFL, Patrick Ricard, 310 pounds.
He's 310?
And was on the field on that drive every single snap Lamar Jackson threw to him three times. Because what do you do if the defensive line sets the edge hard like that? You punish them by throwing into the flat. After they did that, the Titans had to respect that throw. And suddenly, the outsides opened up. The runs were there, all thanks to a very smart counterpunch by Greg Roman.
Let's get back to our breaking news that we started the show off with today. Doug Peterson out in Philly. And just moments ago, Jeffrey Lurie speaking to the media about this decision. Of course, the owner of the team. Let's hear what Lurie had to say about this.
My first allegiance is what will be best for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans for the next 3, 4, 5 years. It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. Very few people probably after success deserve to lose their job.
So look at this from Malcolm Jenkins just a few minutes ago. He said, Deuce Staley, next man up. Every time he stood in front of the team, he had the attention and respect of everyone in the room, the embodiment of what it means to be an Eagle in a coach. I'm good where I'm at, LOL, but in another lifetime, I'd love to play for him. We heard Deuce Staley's name mentioned as well by Sal Palantonio earlier in the show. And what do you think about that and hearing from Lurie there?
Malcolm Jenkins knows that city as well as anybody. And he brings a good point. Like, you better have kind of the lifeblood of those people. Once you got them, it's an amazing place to be, but you got to be like them.
Just speaks to that idea. He lost the locker room.
Yeah, man. All right, we'll be back right here on ESPN2 in 2 hours getting you ready for the college
Let's go!
Playoff National Championship. We'll see you soon.